This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another fantastic, amazing, unbelievable, star-studded.
Let me do it. I'm on a Zoom call.
Shower Door Professionals live stream. Oh, my gosh. I'm overcome with excitement. So good. How you guys doing out there?
Good.
Is this thing on? Testing.
Yeah, it's on. Okay. How you doing, Shannon?
Hi. Look at everybody. Oh, yeah. You guys look amazing. This must be, this shower door thing is really... It's really agreeing with y'all.
Only because you, Chris.
Hey, man, you know, just one guy. Just trying to do my part.
I'm liking Steve's idea. I might have to go outside. It's a good idea, yeah. Man.
Well, I like Keith's background there, man. He's got like acres of glass.
Yeah, he does.
Acres of glass. Dude, it's just like, it's like paradise to me.
Well, it's so, for spring. You start to see the green there, right?
That's exactly right.
For the Northeasterners.
That's good stuff. So tell me, what's shaking out there? What's the buzz? What's the exciting thing? Looks like Tim Connell's having a little bit of a power outage out there. Maybe just a bit of a brown out.
Turn the lights off.
I got to California to reserve energy.
No, yeah. He went to visit Toons. I haven't seen Toons in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, what's up with that guy? He was here. Like, yeah, it's been about 2 weeks.
Yeah, he was here a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's late where he's at. That's for sure.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, good evening.
Hello there.
Greg's back.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Wow.
Like a moth to the flame.
I like it. I like it. Hi, Shannon.
You know.
So,
hey guys, yeah. Sorry I missed the Friday install guide thing, too. Man, I keep on having trouble with those. Wednesday nights are easier. After work, so much easier than midday. Yeah. I'm sure we all get that.
I don't know about this Friday. I must not have been invited. What was this install guy thing?
The National Glass.
Yeah, we should talk about that a little bit, Bill.
Yeah.
So what, Chris, maybe 6 months ago, Andrew Herring sent out an email to about 20 people across the country to see if they would join in a group to help write standards for shower doors.
Installation
standards, safety standards, things of that nature. So we started off doing it probably 3 months ago, and we were going just once a month, and it was dragging. We're really trying to be specific with it. Danny Donahue from FHC is spearheading it, and he's doing a really good job. And so now we've stepped it up to every 2 weeks, and we're plugging away at it, trying to be pretty accurate. So it's going to come along really good. And that's going to go along with everything else the NGA has. You know, they have the My Glass class. Now they want the installation standards. And it's something that the industry has been calling for a long time, because there's a lot of guys out there putting glass in and they just don't know what they're doing. So at least there's some kind of a guide. I mean, each of us do things differently, but as long as we do it safely, it's okay. So we're just putting a guide and some nomenclature to it so that everyone understands it. Because what I call a frameless door, Shannon, you may not call a frameless door, or Chris may not call it. So we're putting some guidelines to that too. So it's been good. It's coming along, but it's taken a while.
Yeah. And just to be clear, so I was never invited. I saw the design guide and they said next is the install guide. And I said, me. So I just threw myself right in there. I just barge in. So so don't feel like, you know, oh, all these special people were invited. You know, sometimes you can just, you know.
I don't feel qualified anymore.
In an association and they start using y'all, you know, all you can. So that's another way to go.
Depends who you are, Shannon. Obviously, you carried enough weight there. We're glad to have you. You're good. You're very good.
When I can get there, but man, that's the hard part. And I feel so bad. You know, you let people down in a group when you're not showing up. And so anyway, that's why I show up here, I guess, you know, not to let you down.
Exactly. So Greg, it's nice that, you know, there's very few companies that do what we do, is where you're manufacturing and installing. So we're putting, you know, just that little bit of extra care to it, because there's things that they may be saying that we don't want them hanging to fabricators either.
Right.
So it's good to have that kind of input in there.
Yeah, I mean, you learn a lot when you fabricate that you didn't know before when you were just an installer, and the glass would arrive and you're like, why does it look like this? What's going on? How could this happen? Then you start tempering and you go, oh, that's how this could happen. Sure. So no, it's a great, and of course, obviously the freedom that comes along with that responsibility is wonderful, but it's a great perspective to add to the group. So thank you.
It is very much so.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool to be able to participate in something like that. You know, it's going to be good to have something a little bit more standardized where people can kind of, you know, it's weird doing something like this because we all do things differently, and nobody's, I'm not going to say nobody's wrong. I mean, some people are definitely doing it wrong. None of us, right? but really just being able to collaborate like that and agree, okay, yeah, that's how we should say it. And it might not be exactly the way that I would say it, but I want to kind of defer to, you know, the group. I'm kind of a weirdo, you know, when it comes to installing shower doors. I mean, nobody does it like I do. And it might be a good thing that I'm the only one out there doing it the way that I do it. But, you know, it's cool. And it'll give us a little bit of clout, you know, when it comes time to, you know, if someone's has questions about the way that we did things, you know, to be able to pull out a guide and say, well, this is kind of the best practices or whatever, you know. So who knows? We'll see. It's taking a while though. And Danny Donahue is doing an awesome job of kind of leading us through the process. It's something that he's done before. So he kind of knows the pitfalls of, you know, the problems that you run into doing something like that. And it is pretty time consuming.
But hey, I have a question for the group, if it's okay. Did anybody, when I mentioned CurtiFix last week, I was surprised to get so many, what? Did anybody go out and get a tube of it and try it this week?
I did.
Okay.
Yep. I purchased it and I used it today.
Nice.
For the first time.
Yeah. I ordered a tube off Amazon actually, but it hasn't come yet. So I'm looking forward to trying it.
I bought it on Amazon. Just, you know, I mean, I think you can pick it up at a local tile place or whatever too, you know.
Yep.
I did miss last week, and I haven't rewatched the replay. What was it again? CurtiFix?
CurtiFix for, we're using it. We were told by the Schluter rep that in order to keep the warranty, him and for us, that anything that drills into that waterproof membrane at the bottom has got to have CurtiFix in it. So we've been using CurtiFix in all our curbs and, you know, curbless, still using silicone on the, you know, high up stuff, but anything horizontal on a half wall, CurtiFix. Really, it's made a big difference.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. A big difference in what?
Well, just the quality of the, you know, where you're not getting the calls from customers saying, I've got a leaky, you know, I got tiles lifting. Not that we ever had many of them, but this really knocked it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good.
Yeah. So the stuff is like, it's pretty thick, you know, it kind of reminds me of, of a, almost like Vulcan or something like that, you know, the thickness of it, you know, like almost like a putty, like a silly putty or something, really thick. So I just put a little on top of the, you know, on top of my penetration and ran my screw down through it. So, you know, the threads of the screw will kind of drag it down into the hole. And then, you know, kind of over the top of the screw head. And it comes with a twist on tip, you know, like we're kind of used to using where you cut, you know, cut it off and then twist on a tip. But the tip also has a cap that threads on. So it's pretty cool. So I think it's going to, we'll see how well it actually, you know, protects it from curing in there. But I have a feeling it will. And it's not cheap. It's like $25 for a tube. But I think that tube will last me. We'll see. Regular tube of silicone lasts
me. Year, 6 months or a year.
I'm going to retire with this tube. Yeah. I mean, if you know, if you're only using it for penetrations, I mean, that's going to go, it's probably going to go bad before I use it. Anyway. But yeah, that was a great tip, you know, and I love stuff like that. You know, I mean, any way that, you know, one of the things, and I wanted to say this too. I never get a chance to say this, you know, thanks you guys for going to glassgadget.com and purchasing tools and supplies and stuff there. I really appreciate your orders and I don't tell you that enough. And I really don't hype it very much, but I appreciate the orders that are coming in. I've been pretty busy with them lately, actually. And one of the things about, you know, the tools that that I've designed and manufactured, one of the things I really like about using those is just it makes you look a little bit more professional, right? I mean, if you're in there doing an installation and you're using like blue tape, you know, to tape something in place and hold it for you, and then, you know, the customer walks in and sees that, I mean, they're probably not very impressed with that, right? But if you've got an actual tool that does something and they walk in, they see it, they're like, wow, what is that? You get a chance to go, well, that's this tool does this, you know, and it's like, oh, wow, that's cool. I've never seen one of those. It's like, yeah, you know, it's a custom tool for just our industry. And so just that little bit of extra, you know, professionalism, a little extra sparkle, you know, Keith's nodding his head because he's Mr. Sparkle, right? But yeah, and this curry fix thing, I think is like one of those things to me. It's like someone comes in and says, hey, what's that? I could pull out and show it to them, say, this is what it is. This is what, you know, the manufacturer of the substrate, you know.
Right, this is their official sealant and all these. After, because they spent so much money on the Schluter already compared to what, you know, they usually do. And you say, oh, this is the official sealant that is to be used with this. Meanwhile, the guy who came and gave him a quote half an hour ago didn't mention it, didn't say anything about it. And didn't say, and like, didn't even know if it was Curdy or Schluter or what was underneath. And when you ask what's underneath and that you've got the special sealant to go with that expensive surround, and then they're like, oh, he's the only guy that mentioned that. And it puts an experience factor exactly in their heads. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, so that's exactly how it can be used.
Yeah. Yeah. So much of what we do is psychological. You know, so much of what we do is just like making people feel comfortable, making people feel, you know, like you've got their best interest in mind. And we do, right? It's not like we're pretending. But sometimes we don't really just go out of our way to let people know that we're thinking about that, you know, and it's it helps, really does.
Mm-hmm. We get compliments on our water drills. We use the Bola water drills with the core bits. And we used to be burning through bits all the time. We'd go through six or eight bits on a piece of granite. Now we get 200-300 holes out of these things, even in tough stuff. And you bring in the, you know, the water tank and the special aqua drill, and people are like, what is that? What is that? And it's the exact same thing you're talking about, Chris.
Mm. Now tell me something. Does that make a big mess?
No.
Not really, huh? It's not flinging water all over.
No. Yeah, the guys wear wetsuits and there's just water everywhere.
That way you put the cup on the wall and drill through it?
Yeah, it's got a base. You can go. I don't know if they are still selling them anymore.
I've seen it at the trade show a couple of years.
Correct. And that's where we saw it. I think there were $1,000 at the time or something. And we probably have 6 or 8 of them. And we wear them out. But I mean, the bits last. We had like a contest and the guys were getting like 300 holes out of a bit.
No,
you know,
come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And granite and stuff. Yeah. The water and the core bits are amazing. And we just use them. And again, we get compliments on when we measure and, you know, you bring out a dot laser, a line laser, they think you've brought out like the world's most sophisticated piece of equipment and they love the lasers. We got the iPads for stuff. So a lot of these little things that look like, and it's true, you're serious and you're experienced. And so, you know, we've all heard the thing, well, you tell me you're the expert, right? So, and that's what we, you know, all those tools add up to a picture of competence. So.
Here, here, absolutely. Yeah, just having like the right, like having the right levels, having good, you know, levels. Not everybody knows about them, but if the person that is your customer, your potential customer, if you're working with contractors know if you've got good levels or not. Contractors know whether the laser you've got, you know, is name brand or it's not, you know. So if you work with contractors, a lot of generals, then yeah. That's another thing that's just as good as gold, you know, having good quality tools, stuff like that.
What are you guys using for line lasers?
PSL.
Yeah, I'm using the PLS too, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's what we use.
So PLS.
Yeah.
PLS or POS?
POS. No. That's what I heard.
PLS.
Yeah, we use the PLS, although the quality seems to be a little lower than it was to be. We send a lot of them back. At least they have a lock button on them now. So
Yeah. They quit rebuilding them too.
Yeah, I noticed. We'd send them back and they just send us a new one.
That shoot a green
Anybody
line?
Anybody using the line,
green line?
Does that shoot that green line or a red line?
They have both. We're still using the red. Is anybody finding a big difference with the green?
I went to the green. I like a lot better.
I think the green's much more visible.
Brighter. Yep.
It's a little easier to read the green. A little bit, especially when it's bright.
Okay.
Yeah, I got the green one for the first time just this past year. And yeah, it's really super visible. It's really easy to see.
Nice
tool. Nice.
Now, where's everybody buying their PLS?
Just we are buying them online.
I get them out of Las Vegas.
Well, I tried to get them. I think it was from Tiger Tools or something like that. And they ignored me when I needed to replace them. I mean, I couldn't get customer service for crap.
Yeah, you got to go direct to PLS. You just go direct to PLS. Like we don't deal with Amazon once we get one. We contact PLS customer service directly.
Well, and I've done that when I got fed up with Tiger and they said, well, I can't really sell you lasers, but we will this one time because of, you know, the problems you were having. That's kind of what they told me. Wow. So I think they're out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Or are they? I should just drive over there, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, right.
I'm just looking up online right now.
Anybody use the Milwaukee lasers?
That's what I have. I have the Milwaukee, the 360. I just got it maybe 2 months ago.
Is that visible or no? Nope, it's giving me like cookies information.
Cookies. I love cookies. So what about, are you a Milwaukee guy? Are you like, do you have all the Milwaukee tools?
I've got everything Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I'm a DeWalt guy.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Those are good.
Yeah.
We like those.
I've had DeWalts. You know, it's hard to switch once you get a bunch of tools from the same brand. But the guys who use Milwaukee's love Milwaukee's. Am I right?
Yeah.
It's all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Milwaukee. I'm Milwaukee and I have a Milwaukee laser. I like it a lot. It's just a little bulky, and then you have to plug it into a phone charger. You can't just replace batteries. So if you run out of battery, you better have some other backup.
Now, you guys that run Milwaukee Tools, are you the M18 or are you M12s?
Both. Okay. I use M12 for the impact driver and the M18 for the drills.
Yep, okay. Same here.
Okay.
I got a question in terms of, I guess it's a considered equipment, but when you're out measuring, are you guys and gals paper and pen, or anybody using a tablet and recording everything on a tablet so that they can maybe send that back to the office immediately?
Yep, that's what we do. We're on an iPad. So we just took our old, we just scanned our old paper version, and that's really a background. And we do have some drop-in, fill-in-the-blank stuff. And so we measure, I don't know if we can see this or not. It's really going to be bad if I can't. And then it goes to Dropbox, exactly as you said. Mm. It's nothing fancy. It's just, I'll bring up a measure sheet that we did today. And so this is my, anybody can see that. Is that terrible all washed out white or?
Oh, not too bad. Yeah.
Yeah, not too bad.
So, and so it's got on, you know, the hinge type, the finish, all those types of things. Let's see if I can darken it down. Maybe that'll help.
So you hand draw that on a piece of paper and scan it, or are you drawing that on the tablet?
Right on the tablet. We got Apple Pencils. Okay. So you can see we got a bunch of drop down menus for thickness of glass, color of glass, metal finish, dimensions, a sketch of the shower, outages, special instructions. And then the minute we close that out, that goes right back into Dropbox.
So, Greg, after you do that, who's doing the glass deductions and actually putting the glass into production?
Well, CRL software, the Smart Build, who's licensing CRL software. So I know you do it without them, so congratulations.
Well, it's still a struggle. It's still a struggle, but we're getting closer and closer and closer to being able to actually do the glass order from the home.
Nice. And yeah, that's our next step. Right now, that drawing goes back to the shop. It goes to Dropbox, but then the next step is to actually have them design it, because you can design on the iPad and price it in the iPad. And I've done it a couple times. Draw it with the outages, with what their choices, and then while they're there, email them a copy of the drawing and the quote.
Right.
And that's right. That's the next.
We're doing the same thing now, and my guy in the field feels like he needs a keyboard. Are you using a keyboard?
Yep, it's the magic keyboard.
Got it.
And
So Greg, what you're describing, you're wanting to do, that's what I've been doing for years now. We've got one of those big, you know, iPad Pros, huge.
Yeah, 12 inch, yeah.
Yeah, and I've got the case with the little keyboard built in. So I'm able to, you know, set it up right there, and I just put it right in to the program. So I never have to, because I get dyslexic, you know, it's like, oh man, what was that? What did I, you know, do it backwards?
Oh, you measure one way and then you turn around and write down the dimension. Yeah. Ooh, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. We've all done that.
Yeah. But, you know, so yeah, being able to enter straight into that, showers online or whatever, you know, it's one less opportunity for me to make a mistake. And it's got that same kind of wow factor that we're kind of talking about earlier. You know, I mean, I know that the next guy, whoever my quote unquote competition is, he's not doing that.
He's got a pencil and paper, you know, with a legal pad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's hard to beat that in terms of, you know, the just sex appeal, whatever, you know. Like, bam, here's what it's going to look like. It's even got a little animated thing so you can show them how the door's swinging back and forth.
Yeah. Wow. Nice.
So, and that's huge. Then it's like, I make a lot less mistakes. And it's costing money, you know. I mean, people could complain about the price of it, and it's expensive, you know. But the money it saves me, you know, and just, you know,
organization. And always, like, we had a guy go out and measure job. I had to go out and double check something. The contractor, his file, it's already in Dropbox, so I don't have to go, do you have the measure sheet, and it's all there. So and that's not that expensive. I mean, it's just not.
Yeah.
And Chris, we're a step behind you. Yeah, the next is to design it at the job site and get a quote. And then the next step is to take the deposit at the job site. So
exactly.
That's the first step.
There are three things. It's like I always told my guys, I had guys with me, there's three things you need to remember. Get the check.
Hey, Greg, can you
hold on? On the subject.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. How are you guys figuring up pricing while you're at the customer site? I came up with a spreadsheet. I spent far too many hours trying to get it right. I'm actually pretty close to the pricing that I'm getting from Cardinal. But I'm just curious how everybody else is doing it.
Well, ours is in the software. So it's Smart Builder, right? We pay a premium. Yeah. So Smart Build does everything, does customer management, does design. They basically, I think they owned the software originally and sold it to CRL. And now they're licensing it back from CRL, which I'm sure is painful. And then they license it to us. And then, and so when we can design anything and get a price in just a minute. I mean, it's not long at all. And then that same software, to answer Bill's question, is that software does cut list and send to the shop floor.
Yeah. So Greg, let me follow up on that. So hold that drawing up again. If I saw it right, you did a hand drawing with your Apple Pen and the dimensions are handwritten, right? So now you got to transcribe your handwritten dimensions
correct. You have to do it a second time, and that's the double entry that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, you got your outages and everything here. So the issue is, if you put it, here's where we're having trouble, Bill, is let's say I can enter that directly into the software. I don't need to draw it by hand. Okay.
Yep.
Well, then there's a question back at the shop on fabrication. Well, blah, blah, blah. We need that hinge can't go. Is it possible that, and there's no handwritten notes at that point, and so, or any sketches. So we're having a hard time. I'm having a hard time. It's my decision, of course, of breaking up with the hand drawings. But yeah. I get exactly what you're saying. We can put them in right there at the job site. There just becomes this trust of, do your guys have computers and stuff on the job site? Or are you writing them by hand still?
No, right now we're putting them by hand.
Okay.
We are doing it by hand. We have a lot of the same similar type things. Instead of drop downs, we circle off the little boxes. Yeah.
Okay.
See, you're probably have some of the same problems that we'll have. Is somebody will look at that handwritten thing and interpret an 8 to be a 3, interpret a 7 to be a 1.
Yeah, 7/16 is 1/16. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and there's nothing you can do about that.
Well, it seems like one thing that you could do using your current system is you could just add drop down menus for the sizes.
For every size.
So then you wouldn't have to handwrite them in. You
could
Right. To answer Bill's question, if we're measuring across a 5-foot opening, we're going to do two things. One, we're going to measure across. We got the Neato sticks, those sticks that you just stretch out, and they're basically fancy measuring tapes. And that gives us, say, 58, 58 and a quarter, 58 and a half. Then we shoot a line laser up at the point where the door is 30, 30 and an eighth, 30 and a quarter, then over here, 28, 28 and an eighth, 28 and a quarter. So now we have two ways of checking those numbers for outages. There are times where you don't, but we, as a rule for our guys, they have to do those outages twice and write them down separately. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They shouldn't be leaving unless the math adds up. If they're showing about a square of a half inch, they've got to show the half inch on the dimensions.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. But there are some, like you get a buttress that drops. Okay. Well, and it's just a buttress return. Well, there's no, it's open air on the other side. So you really got to mark it, measure it, look away from the tape measure, 3 seconds back to the tape measure, and with a fresh face. Because if you just assume, it's 28 3/8, I know it's 28 3/8, and it's really 28 7/8. But that's never happened to us. I'm talking about other people.
I've seen it on YouTube. I've seen it on YouTube.
You too.
I read about it in a magazine.
So I have a question for you guys who use Smart Builder and computers on site. So I actually really like the Smart Laser app. There's a lot of stuff that's missing from it. There's no doubt about that. But I think it's pretty pretty well done for as much as we have to do with showers. So does anybody use the Smart Glazer app all the time?
Are we talking about the Smart Glazer app, which is just the free app to measure showers out in the field, or you're talking about, okay.
Yes, which then communicates with Smart Toolbox and Smart Builder, right, that mm-hmm. you push back to the computer. And then you can call the office, presumably, and say, hey, can you give me a price? Mm-hmm. I just pushed this over to you.
We don't, just because everybody has a seat. So the guys out in the field already have a seat. So just going to take me about 10 seconds to authenticate. So we use the Smart Build full version. Are you using just the free app at this point?
We're using the full version. And to the reason I would like to consider the app even more than we currently do is one, not all of our guys in the field have seats, which we're not opposed to paying for, but ultimately they're not doing a lot of the pricing. And two, there are, to your point, you need like a second source. You need those field notes. And Smart Glazer acts as the original measurement field notes that then would go to Smart Builder, and you don't have to copy them down or anything like that because it's
right.
all automated. So why do or don't you use that?
Because the goal is to make sure that we price out in the field, and we haven't gotten there yet. So I was just trying to see if I had something for you that I could show you. But that Smart Glazer app, if anybody's ever seen it at the show, they offer it at no charge. And it actually, even if you don't use Smart Build, you can actually use it. It quickly puts in outages and everything. And I think you can even email the file without using Smart Build to price it.
You can, right? Yeah, absolutely. We just use the app, but we don't do anything outside of that.
So you use the app. How do you like it? What pitfalls do you find with it? Do your guys like it? Do you have issues with it? Any of that?
I mean, like you mentioned before, it doesn't do rakes, but I remember you'd mentioned that.
So that's the full version.
Yeah.
The full version does do rakes?
Well, full version. No. I mean, there's nothing it doesn't do. You're talking about rakes on. Yeah. We do everything. Like
the app does not do, it doesn't support rakes, but then the desktop. Right.
Correct. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, correct. So yeah, we use the app. I mean, it's not all that in a bag of chips, but it works pretty good.
Okay. So, but nobody here uses the app and the full version.
No, we thought about it, but we decided to buy seats.
Okay.
Tell me something. How is that different than like showers online? Is there something more to the smart? Because I'm not familiar with it. Smart.
It is showers online. So there's.
Is there anything more to it than what showers online has?
Oh God, yes. Customer management, billing,
CRM,
complete CRM,
and all that. Okay.
Right, and you can control a lot of the stuff, so it's nice. So it's not cheap, but the app is free. But we just answer a question. No, we don't use the app just because we wanted a seat for everybody.
Cool.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
Please.
It seems like most people here aren't pricing a job at the house. And I'm befuddled as to why that is. We all know what our square foot price is, notches. We've all bought hinges before. If it's a 5 foot shower, 7 foot tall, 35 square feet, and now I got my cost of goods sold and what gross profit margin are we putting on? 70, 80%, customers ask 90%, and boom. Because to me, you know, we're talking about 2 millimeter shifts and psychological. Customer led stranger in the house to solve a opportunity. Now we're gonna leave and get back, and it for me, just based on opportunities, I don't want to let another person go in there. So if I can strike enough rapport and build up trust in that 15-minute consultation, that's your best opportunity to close the deal. Not even a question.
Right.
I wouldn't be waiting for any app. We don't have it yet. I think we're in the middle of having Kick-Ass app. But I would think our app is to help lean our process out to minimize mistakes. It has nothing to do with the pricing. It'll make it easier, but we've already kind of standardized it. But if I was in any of the positions that I'm hearing here, if I went in there and said, just tell me what gross profit margin you want and give me the raw cost of materials, I'm not leaving till I get it. It's too hot to leave there. I just can't imagine leaving. I don't know why. I would look into pricing it at the house 1,000%.
Keith, I completely get that. And I kind of forced my dad out of that. He was completely into pricing at the house, grabbing a check on site, all of that. And that's fine. And it would be lovely to get back to that to a point. The errors that were happening with our guys, the level of training you have to get to understand where your price has to be, and also, you know, what the inventory levels are for certain things. There are so many things, especially during COVID, that changed so rapidly that it didn't make sense for us to price at the house anymore. We had to hire a bunch of people, train them super fast, understand our inventory constraints that were changing constantly. And then also we have customers who are so super particular and need to see a diagram. And so that's why we take everything back to the office. We have everything written in plain language, like a full contract with a diagram description. It has all the colors of everything. I mean, it's like very comprehensive. And so if anything goes wrong, we've got a CYA. Mind you, our customer service is such that the customer is always right.
What's your closing percentage?
Offhand, like just immediate closing percentage based on the trust we've built is 55%. And then with follow-ups, I think Brad had it at 77 a few weeks ago. And then we stopped discounting as heavily because it's too high.
And are you getting quotes out same day, next day, a week? What is it? And I'm being facetious a little bit, but what's your policy? It's because Keith's right. Your best opportunity is when you're in the house so that they can just cancel the other guy they scheduled 2 days from now as they give you money.
87%, Greg, if you're asking me, 87%.
87%, that's high. We're under 70. And is every price given on the job?
Everything except builders. Like if we're measuring 5, 6, 7 showers, they
want to cancel.
But we're talking residential. Yes, absolutely. Given a price at the job. Absolutely.
Okay. And the guys at the job are hitting their numbers.
Hold on. Just to add a little bit more content. Yeah. Yes, of course. That's why it works.
No, I'm saying hitting their numbers, meaning not hitting their closing percentages, but hitting
bonus. Of course. You have to hit the gross, but just to digress for a second. What I said was just the bare bones starting off with nothing. I'm not going to be beholden to a tempering facility to give me a quote, to give my customer a quote that I worked so hard to get in that house. Now, everything, I didn't even get her name. Everything she said, we'd experienced for 5 years. And so we kind of just keep calibrating. So we actually have a carbon copy takeoff sheet, which eventually will be digital, where we do all the drawing right there, diagram, got the iPad with the pictures, got our little case with the hardware. But we've created a price list because we know with all the data we have from years past that door panels, door notch panel returns, NEOs, you know, all the configurations that you can think of, we've pre-priced between 50 to 58 inches, 58 to 64. So we've already done this work. But if I didn't have that price book, I would do it the way I said. I just figure out my cost of goods sold there, if owner needs 75% margin, then I put, you know, times or divide by 0.25, boom, I got my number. And I'm not poo-pooing what she said. I agree. We've wasted thousands of dollars doing what she said until we realized that the percentage of closing going up far outweighed the potential mistakes. We're better off serving our time, calibrating and tighten up that process to still be able to capture the high probability of closing ratio.
And Keith, probably it makes a ton of sense. I think from our point, I'm going to claim laziness because the market right now, if when we say we're giving people a quote the same day, which is what we do right now, oh, that's great. The other guy still hasn't got back to me. So I think you play to the level of your competition. So we do need to sharpen it up and get it done on at the house. But right now it's like, oh, well, the other guys are a week. So we'll, you know, because they're doing exactly what you're saying. They're calling the fabricator, how much for this glass, and waiting for a quote back. And the fabricator's buried with quotes. So it's 2 days before he gets back to the small, you know, the other guy who doesn't fabricate. And we're getting the advantage because we're getting the quote to them within hours instead of while we're there. But I agree 100%. That's where we need to go.
And to
nobody's calling you out there. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, just you're good. Fine. Just real quick. We do the same thing. So it has to be sent within 24 hours. And our receptionist sends all of the quotes because she has a relationship with the customer. I mean, she wasn't the person in their house, but she is one, a woman. A lot of our customers are female. They are doing the remodel. They're the designer, quote unquote. They're making the decisions, right? So she has cultivated that relationship with the woman of the household, if you will. And then she sends it like the morning after usually. So it's well within that 24 hour period. And most of our customers are working too. So some people will call them like 3 days later and they haven't even checked on it. So, and then none of our competition in our current market gives pricing on site. So we are faster than our competition.
You're ahead of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it, you know, when people say, oh, you're going to get it to us tomorrow, that's amazing, is really the response that we get from that. and our pricing is so dialed in because we use Smart Builder. I mean, our profit margins, like if I discount something or if, you know, a customer wants to see a different handle or something like that, I mean, we get it to the penny. It's unreal. And I come from a background of revenue management consulting, which the whole premise behind that is like, don't cut your costs, manage your revenue better by the dollar. And so that is the premise that I've been groomed on, if you will, in my career. So that's why we are so keyed in on our pricing.
So Christina, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Turn around. You're a customer now. You're not the one selling a shower door, but you need a shower door. You call what, 2-3 companies? If you're the average homeowner and you don't know anybody, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. your particular company is going to be a stranger to her. And mm-hmm. so are the other two. Mm-hmm. Do you think the average person likes 3 strangers coming into their homes?
Mm-mm.
The average person.
Probably not, but caveat.
Go ahead.
Big picture, most of our customers right now are doing a full bathroom remodel, so they probably have between 4 and 10 strangers in their home at any given time.
Okay. But I mean, per estimate, or are you talking about strangers because they're the subs doing the work?
The subs doing the work.
Yeah, but I'm saying they have to put aside time to meet with you, go through that. Now, and don't forget, they're not as familiar with the business as you are, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to get your input to a customer. The next company is going to say it differently. Might even be the same stuff, but he's just saying it differently. And a third, now they're confused. Don't you think that if you were the first one in the house and they were somewhat comfortable, not only with you, but with the price you gave them right away, they don't even want to bother with the other two?
That's true.
They don't even want to bother. And I think that's what gives you the advantage. If you can price it at the house, now there's still more to it. You got to have somebody that's presentable. and present your company in a professional manner and give a professional looking proposal. But if you can do that immediately, mm-hmm. just like Greg was saying, well, this other guy's, you know, they haven't even given me my quote yet. So how long is it going to be when they do the installation? And that's what's going through their head. But you're giving them a quote right away. Everything you've done is professional. I think you have a much higher closing ratio. Much higher.
I do not disagree with you. I do not disagree with that. I would really like to collect money at the house. The reason we took it away is because we were coming from no software, no inventory, my dad's garage, but three guys. And now we're like 2 years later, we've more than doubled our revenue. We have 10 people. We have an office, and we're moving now again. And it's just like, it's just grown out of control. So we like had to take it away. But yes.
I have a suggestion. 100%. Is there a customers aren't usually like trying to get you out of the house. What we did for a little while when we had e-showers was I would actually shoot the dimensions over and have somebody in the office when I only had one seat, price it in the office in the like 5 or 10 minutes. And then get it back to me. And then they would email the quote. And so I'd still be standing in the house when the quote came through. Mm-hmm. So that way you're not paying for seats for everybody. But you say, hey, I'm at Mrs. Johnson's house. It's 8 inches wide. There's a couple outages. You know, she wants some black hinges in the round square handle. And boom, the quote can go out in 5 minutes if your designer's good.
100%. Now, how do you guys accept money? Because we were doing checks, Venmo, Cash App, cash, all of that stuff. And then we started doing credit cards. So do you take like credit card payments in the field? Like how do you accept your money?
Yes, anything. I'll take crypto.
How did I know Chris was going to say crypto?
I'm just curious. Like I would want to get there, but then I feel like we're going to need to have card readers. And it's always that thing where like, oh, my card reader's not really working, or it must be slow right now or whatever. You know, I'm just so worried about all these things. Yeah. So I like struggle to change what we do.
That's one kind of a downside to the technology, you know, and even with the way that I do it, you know, so every now and then you can't connect, you know, and it's like, I've gotten a lot more comfortable with just asking people if I can get on their network. And actually I've found that that's really a good thing. You're kind of asking for a level of intimacy with a person to ask for access to their Wi-Fi, which is actually a good thing in the long run, because it's endearing. Benjamin Franklin did this thing where when he met someone new, he would borrow something from them. So he would like borrow a book. So rather than doing a charitable deed, he would have someone do a charitable deed to him. What he found was that it's more endearing to have somebody do something for you than it is to actually do something for them. It's kind of ingenious. But I mean, that's kind of the one downside to technology is like it doesn't work 100% of the time. But before I started using showers online and doing it all on site, I did what Keith was talking about. I mean, I figured out, I realized that, man, this is like he is saying, a golden opportunity to make a deal right now. I mean, I'm here. I've said something clever. The guys chuckled at my little joke.
Yes. We're friends,
man.
Yes.
Right? Friends, man. Get out your
Got chair. My hair done.
Yeah. Got my hair done.
Let's not got go my Old Spice on.
Yeah, and I also realized that for me, you know, it's different for me because it's just me, right? I'm not a team of people. So it's like, I totally get that. And what I do won't work for everybody because, you know, but I think there is a way. And that, what Greg just said was just, that is a really ingenious way, a little workaround. For not having the technology on the site. It's just, hey, you got a phone, right? Call the office. If you could have someone do that for you, brilliant.
Yeah, and you just keep the conversation going for a few more minutes and, you know, talk about something else, the remodel and how beautiful the tile is, because the tile's always beautiful.
Every time. Who did your tile work? Oh, you did it yourself?
Oh, my. I had no idea. The other thing I would say is, and this is kind of a self-condemnation, is right now, during the last recession, a lot of glass competitors went out of business. And we kind of thrived because we were a little bit more passionate energetic. And we're all, I'm not going to say we're all, the Dobbins seem to just kill it every day, but we're a little more fat and happy. Our volume is up 2-3 times what it was from 8 years ago. We're struggling to keep every, you know, talent, and we've managed to do it and we're very successful, but getting the quote back same day isn't that important, because they're lucky to get a phone call for some of the competitors. But what's going to happen is when this recession comes, and I've been predicting it now for 6 years unsuccessfully, but it will come, is all of a sudden those edges that Keith are talking about are going to be really important, because that guy is going to get, the other guy's going to get real hungry, and he is going to sit in that house and give a price. And you're still doing things the Craig, other way.
It sounds to me like you're saying that you got so much work right now, if you started doing that, it would bury you, which then I would tell you, it's time to raise your prices and do a little bit less work.
Oh, I'm agreeing with you, not arguing with you, certainly on the point that we need to start doing more of what you're saying. We do a lot more than our competitors, a lot more, and people are blown away every single time. But we need to step it up further so that when the recession comes, they aren't even ready, that we've already taken it to the next level.
They're not even close to you.
That's the goal. Once you get to the point where you're competing against yourself, I mean, that's when, man, you're head, shoulders, you know, because it's like, it doesn't take much to rise to the top, right? I mean, all you have to do really is answer your phone.
You know, is that all?
Show up on time. If you show up on time and keep your promise, you're going to be doing more than what 99% of the competition does, you know? And then once you get to that spot, it's easy to plateau there because, oh, I'm killing it. I'm beating everybody. But if you step up your game from there, and start competing against how good I was last year, you know, man, that's when it's like you get to name your own price. I mean, it's true.
That's a valid point. Mm-hmm. Very.
Amen. Amen.
Preach it, brother. Come on now. Can I hear it? Amen.
So I'm listening to this spectrum, and I just want to kind of, you know, point out, we've got like Christina here, and I'm definitely, you know, on the same page there with, you know, we've got guys in the field that I don't trust to, you know, design a shower on their own, you know.
Yeah, sure.
We've got the guy who knows everything and he still feels like, you know, I don't think that really needs a header. No, it does. And we got the new guy that's like, you know, how many square foot can we go before we have to worry about whatever? So, you know, I'm back with the, you know, Christina method of, we want to get it back in the field. We want to review it. We want to make sure that the person in the house is making promises we can keep. But then the second part, what I hear Keith saying is, get that vast knowledge, put it all together in a product that makes it easy for people to make the right decisions and get the right pricing. And then, you know, and then you're good. They're not making the mistakes because you've kind of created something that you know, the price book idea that, you know, they don't have to design a shower on their own. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I'm kind of seeing this go from here to there, and then you're okay. But, you know, without the tools and without making it easy, because not everybody is, I mean, there's no way I'm going to train, you know, several people to use showers online. It's a little complicated. So I don't know. I'm seeing this, you know, hey, this is great, we do this, but there's lots of underlying pieces to it where if you don't have that foundation, you could just be heading out into, you know, really screwing yourself.
How much time are your techs spending at the average job? So when you go into that house and you talk,
measures and stuff?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We schedule them about 90 minutes if they've got, you know, one shower. We try and get them out to 5-6 jobs a day.
Okay. So if they,
these are full-time employees?
Yeah. We want them to go.
So when they ring the doorbell and then the see you later, half an hour, 45 minutes?
Yeah,
an hour.
Probably 40. It really shifts. Now we have 60, maybe even 70% contractors. So they may be going in on their own with a lockbox and they're just doing the usual. And then they have a homeowner that's, you know, tell me every single thing I could ever want to know about a shower. So so we kind of plan on maybe 45 minutes to an hour for each job.
Same. At the house.
In the house.
Same here. Yep.
Who are the people you say you don't trust?
is it a knowledge issue or a trust issue?
Who are the people? Are they your employees that you don't trust?
Yeah. So there's a couple of different things. First off, we've got a guy who just wants to say yes to everybody. Mm-hmm. And so we have to say no. And he knows that he can't say no. And so he'll come in and he says, yeah, they really want this design. I told him I wasn't sure that could fly. So we talked about option two. I need you to tell him that only option two will go. Is a total wuss. I know it's an issue. And then there's others where, hey, you know, the CAR07 doesn't come in matte black. Come on, you know that. What are we going to do? So, and then there's, I don't know. So many different things out there. So many different pitfalls.
I don't think and I'm going to step in and speak for you and you can shut me down if it's not right. I don't think it's a matter of trust as though they're not trustworthy. Right. It's a matter of they lack the knowledge or experience of all the details. And that is back at the office. And so mm-hmm. that's where the
double check really is all it is.
Not defending it, explaining it.
And creativity, because there's so many crazy situations, you got to figure it out. And it takes a lot of experience to know that. And it's like, I've seen people struggle with some measurements that someone took. It might be because it's a 130-inch wide shower door, something stupid like that. Believe me, we've had a lot of stuff like that. And, you know, I have ways I want to handle that and the ways I want to talk to the customer about that. And so in my book, it's almost a hybrid. We have one guy that's been with me for about 6 years now, and he's computer savvy. I think he could handle it out in the field. But I wouldn't have every guy do that out in the field, quite honestly. So I think it's a hybrid for us, and we'll probably be working back towards quoting in the field. In fact, we've already been trying to do that with one of our employees. So,
yeah. And I mean, I as I sit here, I look at the Dobmans, who are, I don't even know how many thousands of showers you guys put in a year. So tremendous respect for the systems that you guys have put in, and you've gone through the hard stuff that some of us are behind the curve on. So I don't want to give you the impression at all that I'm disagreeing with what you're saying. I think it's admirable, and it's where we need to go.
There's no right or wrong answer here. I mean, mm-hmm. fear is an overriding decision maker on everything we do. However, I would say if you're at that point, you're going in the right direction. Because the one thing we learned in the first 10 years, having our finger on everything, is you just aren't going to get rich off the sweat of your own brow. So what are your goals and aspirations? If you want to build a big company, you're going to need a team, and they better at least be able to price shower doors in the field. You can grow a successful business, but if you want a big business, you need, you know, you want to go fast, you go alone. You want to go far, you have to go as a team. Have to. Not even a question. I don't measure all these showers. You know, I can measure six a day, but they ain't going to feed this factory. We got to have other people out there. We got to strike while the iron's hot. We got a lot of competition. Lots of it. But there is no wrong and right answer here. It's just the way we've done it.
No, but I think there's an efficiency, especially even for the small guys, there's an efficiency lesson in there. And I consider myself kind of a medium-sized guy, but inefficiencies are critical, both from a labor reduction standpoint and time wasting and, you know, get that quote directly to them while you're in the house. I mean, there's huge, huge upsides on that. So it's kind of prompted me to move faster to get these guys to price in the field. So,
well, and I know that we're almost out of time, but like the biggest thing from start to finish, like the final thing can go shit. I mean, shit rolls downhill, right? That you can get on site with all this glass that you spent all this money on, and you spent all this time and money getting your employees out to a job. You've built this trust with this customer. And if the first guy, your sales guy, didn't write one thing down, like they want low iron glass, you're, for lack of a better term, you're fucked. Like, I mean, what, I mean, what, sorry.
That's never,
I mean, it's just like,
well,
you have to, like, the communication from start to finish is so critical that having that intermediary for us, for our guys, our point A guy, come back to the office.
I'm going to disagree.
Yeah.
A little bit. And that is, and I said it last week, and I'm not sure, and it's something that we learned quite, and that is you review the details before you leave the house. Okay, Mrs. Johnson, so the glass is going to be 80 inches high. It's going to go up to the grout line here, right at the door casing.
Like that.
The door is going to be 30 inches wide. It's going to swing just like this, and I'll move my arm. It's going to swing like this. Because they'll, how many times have you heard, oh, I thought the door was going to be over here. I thought the door was going to swing this way. And you're like, we drew it out for you. How did, I'll stand there, I'll go, and the door is going to go like this. And I got my back on the wall. So they know, and it's going to be the low iron glass that we talked about and the matte black to match what you have here. And we go boom, 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 boom. And that knocks down a lot of stuff. Cause sometimes the question will come up, right? Oh, I thought I said the towel bar, you know, and you're like, on what planet did towel bar ever come up? Oh yes, of course. Yeah. Boom. So a walking through those details while you're in the house is.
Amen. Critical. Amen. And they've already talked to two other people. They get you confused with the two others, which does go back to the point that if you sell them right then and there, and you've done exactly what you said, you know, everybody's on the same page and you made the sale.
So I just want to make a really quick, totally snide comment. Why do you guys think you can't walk away? Why do you think you got to push it? What are you, some vacuum sales guy? What's it going to take, Mrs. Homeowner, to get the sale today? What are we selling, used cars? They can, you know, Mrs. Smith, you don't have to think about this right now. I'm going to send you paperwork. I'm going to let you review all of it because I know when you're done looking at those other losers and comparing us, you can think about it. It's not a problem because we're still going to be your choice. Don't you worry, Mrs. Smith.
I love your significant other here.
I'd love to role play with you.
Right? That, we'll have to do that next week. Playing with Keith.
No problem. Make sure you have your checkbook, Shannon.
So good. I love you guys. Thanks for showing up. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye, Shannon. Bye, everybody.
Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.